Spiritus, Voices in Unity. We'll see you in a minute.
Thank you, Earth Angels. Amen, 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 amen. And the group says, amen. And let us live it out. So to sing and pray that there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, there's one, and then go, did you see the way they roll their eyes at me? Did you know they didn't include me? And what if at the end of our lives, as we're dissolving, just today somebody sent a meme to me that says, what if there's some accounting of my life? And it shows me how many cuss words I said. And it showed me how many times I didn't keep my word. And it showed me how many dreams I had that I really didn't pursue. Whoa. What if there's an accounting? And what if today we wake up to that accounting that says, okay, I've got some invitations to life. So this talk is inspired by a book that's called The Five Invitations of Life. And it moved me just like that video today, moved me at depth again about the reality of our dissolution and our dissolving nature, and that to become includes dissolve too. So to let parts of me die, the parts that are not the truest parts of me, things that don't really make my tail wag. And the first invitation is to don't wait. Don't wait. Stop waiting. So whatever it is, because one day, I mean, many of you living right there, most of you are watching this, live in New York, and many of you have been to New York, and if you don't live there, that it was that day. Nobody went to work that day realizing it's going to be the day, the last day on the earth, the last day to say goodbye to somebody, the last day to give a kind word, the last day to eat a peach, the last day. So whatever it is we're waiting on, we're encouraged today as we remember this and the reality of this, and life's way to stop waiting, maybe, to stop waiting on being who I've come here to be, to stop waiting on doing what I believe I'm called to do, to write music, to put a poem out, to get to know my neighbors, to stop arguing. You know, mystics, master teachers, there's no evidence, there's nothing reported from mystics over the course of history. No mystic argued. So what if I stop waiting for them to get it so I can quit arguing? Then I can use all my vital life energy that I'm leaking off arguing with somebody toward creation. So what if I stop contending anybody or anything? So I'm not going to wait to live out oneness. I'm not going to wait to live out the lyrics of this song. The power and the prayer of unity's basic teachings, that there's one power and one presence. I am one with that. And I'm going to draw on that. I'm going to speak that way. I'm going to pray that way. I'm going to behave that way. And I'm going to stop waiting for somebody else to align with me. I'm going to stop waiting for somebody else to apologize, or stop waiting for them to agree or to see how wrong they are, how right I am. So no more waiting. Invitation two is to push nothing away. Push nothing away. And I witnessed that over the years, and when I was there on this holiday, this Remembrance Day, this holy day of remembrance of 9/11, of how in the face of that loss, the depths of that loss, how you showed up and you ran toward humans, you went toward humans, you went toward crisis. Push nothing away, even in the face of a disaster, in the face of a loss or grief. It's like, push nothing away. Like the resistance of this is what causes me not to bring my whole self to it. And even though it's a struggle to be with what is, and as natural and normal as it is from a personality perspective to want to blame and judge. It's not what we're here to do. It's not what we're here to be about, to create. And deep peace and power and our own inherent innate powers cannot be active, will not be active to the degree that I'm resisting what is. It leaves me stuck in it, bound in it, stuck in the muck about it. So in order to have greater peace about this, to live then in a fullness, to bring my whole self to this, then I cannot push anything away. Everything's included. I don't have to like it a bit. I don't have to love it. I don't have to agree with it even. And I certainly don't have to understand it. And it's got to be included. Alpha and Omega. The dissolution and the becoming. The respect and the disrespect. The death and loss and the life and the renewal. It is all included. And until I align with this, I cannot bring a fullness of who I am, and certainly not the full potential of my own divine expressing to it. So acceptance is an act of opening up to the loss, the grief, the painful feelings, the despairs of the world, of our lives, our full experiences of our lives and sensations. And it doesn't mean I condone something, but my inability, my reluctance, my even willfulness that I will not accept this is what keeps me in the war with life, the war, the tug of war, the drain off of my energy. So get a sense of if there's just a thing or two that you can push away less, maybe not everything. I mean, don't let me take your hell from you. You've got to suffer just enough. But if there's something, one place, one relationship, one interaction, one situation that you could not push away and push against, and dare I say, welcome it. It's like, I don't welcome most of anything. I don't love what is. I don't even like what is most of the time. But there's a deep peace and a centeredness in simply not going to war with what is, what's included, and including our own reactions to what is. And as hard as it is to believe that acceptance can open up part of us, that acceptance, it has a miracle-making power, it's a superpower, acceptance as a superpower, it's hard to believe this, that it will open opportunities for us that we couldn't even imagine for ourselves. To stop the resistance and actually open to a different opportunity, to open to what is becoming of this, which it is not bypassing feelings, it is not denying the loss and the grief and the feelings of the dissolving and accepting what I cannot change and swing wide the door for what is becoming in the place that what was lost was in. So even think about those trade towers and this freedom tower and those gardens and those water features and what is there representative of that space. The third invitation is to bring your whole self to the experience. This means all parts of me. And it sounds easy to do, and it's not easy to do because we're typically trying to avoid feeling, suppressing, depressing, disowning how we actually feel instead of like letting swing wide the door for the feelings too, embracing the truth that all things inevitably must end encourages us to not only not wait in order to begin living, but to quit pushing back on something I can't change, to quit expecting the world to align to my preferences or my timing. or my desire or my want, I want, I want, and I need, I need, I need, and it life should, and life should, and it should, and they should. Instead of like, there's nothing realistic about that. There's nothing peaceful. There's nothing causative and creative about that except more suffering. So all the teachers, the masters, the sages, the mystics have encouraged us around this to look at the realities of impermanence, for example, and the sadness that goes with it, the sadness that goes with endings, and to see that it's not all loss. It's not all about loss. That just as constantly as something is dissolving, something else is becoming. And the same thing will be true of us, of you and me, of when it's our day to dissolve, when it's our time for death, that I tease that there'll be a proper 10 minutes of grieving, and then somebody will be in here sorting out my things and seeing just how weird I was and wondering what in the heck I kept that for and what was she thinking. And then they'll put their own self on it. They'll put their own consciousness on it and make decisions about where it ought to go and what they're going to do with it. And then they'll go on. Somebody else will live in this house. Somebody else will wear these clothes. Somebody else will drive that car. Divinely perfect. And my worry about that, Daddy used to say, oh, honey, very few people are actually living because they're so worried about dying. So our worry about death keeps us from really living, bringing our full self to this. So there's a real opportunity here. And for us, I think in the time that we're in, and the time is now that we're in, and particularly in the movement of the world and what we're seeing in the realms of religion and spirituality and the declines and disengagements and things like that, that it's high time to be and express what we tout that we believe, to be this in the world, and to know that in our spirit, we're all situated, we're set. In our spirit, we're fine. And back here in the humanness of us, though, we've got some boogers. And we've got some things that we could sort out and look at, wait, is this really true for me? And including things like how much time I'm spending on things that don't really matter to me. Like I can't bring my whole self to something because I've leaked off energy doing God knows what it is. And only you know what it is. It could be doing something you've always done for the sake of you always done it. It could be how much time you're spending scrolling, you know, through social media without realizing the effect that's having on you. And it's nothing against that. I mean, we're on a free life here. And it's up to us to decide what we're going to do with this life. And as I look back on it a few years ago, when I'm an accountant, one of my first degrees is in accounting, and I saw my life as like a bar chart or a pie graph, if you want to see it, like a bar chart that showed where I'd spent my time throughout my life. And oh my God, it was like a wake-up call for me. Like it was disturbing. Like I'm not okay looking back on my life and seeing how much time I spent trying to control somebody else's life. Or even for me, I look back at all the hours I was spent doing hair. I used to have this big, gorgeous, dark, long, thick hair that I permed and hot rolled and curled and pulled up and pulled back and colored and did all sorts of things to it. And then when I saw how many hours of my life was spent doing hair, I couldn't bear it anymore. I got, oh my gosh. And you're free to do it, of course. Don't try to do it Martha Creek's way. Only you know what is in integrity for you. But I couldn't do it. Like years of my life spent doing that. And I wanted to do something else with the years that I have, like how to get empowered teachings to the whole of the world and how to record the teachings and how to get them in newsletters and how to get it into the social media and how to get it into books, 3 books now, 1 more coming out this year, and how to be available to serve in ways like I'm getting to do this morning. Far more interesting to me. So big, deep breath. No less waiting, no more waiting on what really matters, and less energy leaks on what doesn't really matter all that much. Willing for everything, accepting, not pushing back on as much. Even if we can't welcome it, just not to push it away, to bring our whole self to an experience. And then the fourth invitation is to find rest. To find rest in the messy middles. To find rest in the despair, in the ways of the world, in the disillusion, in the disappointments, in the despair. To find some way to care for ourselves, physically care for ourselves, and spiritually care for ourselves. True self-care. Only you know what it is. What would make your tail wag? What brings you a speck of joy? And to know that there's no one that's going to do that for you. There's no one. Shocker. To find a place to rest. To renew. To restore. To rejuvenate ourselves. I believe these spiritual communities are a way to do that. To come back and see those beautiful faces you saw today. And hug them. Be with them. Go to a little island with them. Go out on a tour of your own city, to have coffee, to go to class, to think, to learn, to have a hug, the music, the message through the music. There's so many ways that restore us, that lift us up. And coming to services like this and listening to people that inspire us to do what we're actually here to do, and to be truer to who we are. The fifth invitation is to cultivate an I don't know mind. Now, I'm glad this was the last one, because most of you would have clicked off the service if I'd have started with this one probably. So, how's it all going to turn out? I don't know. What's going to happen with that? I don't know. Will my family be sane at Thanksgiving? I don't know. Will I be sane at Thanksgiving? Now that's a full-time job. An I don't know mind. A mind that accepts that there is thy will be done, that there is a greater wisdom than my own. Something manages to keep the planet spinning and in alignment. Things I can't comprehend or understand. And the uncertainties of that. So I encourage you to pause right here and right now and just say the word. I don't know. I don't know. And let it be some kind of solid ground for you as you go into this week, into this season. The holidays will be coming up soon. And it's usually a time of heightened anxiety. Not like we're looking for one. But another one, when those holiday times comes, it's a reported, statistically reported for decades, a higher increase in anxiety and stress and tensions, depressions, suicides, attempts and suicide. So for us to be who we've come here to be, to bring everything we can to the game of life, and to be awake to the dissolving and the becoming, not to wait on anything that matters to us, and not to push things away, to bring our whole self to every experience we can, all the parts of us, knowing there's no bad parts of us, that all the parts have a place, and then to find a place to rest in the middle of all of it. And to repeat it day in and day out, one more day just for today, and to live more in tune with the power and the peace, the presence of God, and what God intends, not necessarily me getting my way and my ever-growing devotion to make sure my preferences all get matched today, versus I have some preferences and I'm working on them, and I'm pretty sure that I will not get what I want in every situation. So, two things I wanted to read, and one is from Rumi. And it is, the breeze at dawn has secrets to tell you. Don't go back to sleep. Ask for what you really want. Ask for what you really want. Don't go back to sleep. People are going back and forth across the door sill of where the two worlds touch. The door is open. Don't go back to sleep. So what is it? What is it we can do? How can we be and express this here on the earth? And to take these opportunities to heart and to action. So we are workers, friends. You are workers, miracle makers. We're here to be and express this as our divinity into the world, as the world. And this reading is from a bishop named Ken Utinner, and it's often attributed to somebody else. This is what we're about. We plant the seeds that one day will grow today. Today, I'll plant the seeds that will one day grow. We water the seeds already planted, knowing that they hold future promise. We lay foundations that will need further development. We provide yeast that provides effects that are far beyond our own capabilities. We cannot do everything. We cannot do everything. And there's a sense of liberation in realizing that. This enables us to do something. To do something. And to do something and do it well. It may be incomplete, what we do. And it's a beginning. A step along the way. A step along the way. An opportunity for God's grace to enter and do the rest. I'll do my part. We may never see the end results. And that is the difference between master builders and the workers. We are workers, not master builders. We are ministers. You're a minister. I'm a minister. We're ministers, not messiahs. We're prophets. And we're prophets of a future that's not our own. God bless you. Namaste. If there's any way in the world I can support you, get directly in touch with me, marthacreek.com. Blessings.
Thank you.
So